Tonight's scripture lesson is from Psalm 126, a song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. When the Lord brought back his exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. We were filled with laughter, and we sang for joy. And the other nations said, "What amazing things the Lord has done for them." Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy! Restore our fortunes, Lord, as streams renew the desert. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. God, one more time, we need you to fill up our words with your word, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we talked a little bit about the songs of ascent, or as the New Living Translation says, a song for pilgrims ascending to the temple. These songs that people sang as they came at least three times a year for the big feasts to worship in the temple at Jerusalem. I love this particular song of ascent. It was written probably later than some of the earlier ones that David and Solomon wrote. It's probably written after the exiles returned from Babylon. Give you just a short history lesson of God's people in case you're not aware of all the details. God made a promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, and he moved him into the land of Canaan. And Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob had his 12 sons, one of whom was Joseph, who his brothers sold into slavery into Egypt. And God used Joseph to save the Egyptian people and the people in all the surrounding areas from this terrible famine that went on for 7 years. And so Joseph's brothers and eventually his father wind up coming and living in the land of Egypt as they're reunited with their brother. And then some years later, there came a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. And the Hebrew people, God's people, became slaves in Egypt. And God raised up Moses to lead his people out of slavery across the Red Sea and into the wilderness. And then in a way, they were sort of in a captivity once again because they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because of their unbelief. And then finally, Joshua leads them into the promised land. And after lots of battles and all sorts of stuff that goes on, the 12 tribes of Israel take their place in the promised land. They were ruled by judges for a while, and then they demanded a king. And so they had Saul, and then David, and then David's son Solomon. And after Solomon, when Solomon's son Rehoboam was on the throne, the kingdom split into the 10 northern tribes and the 2 southern tribes. And one of the southern tribes was Judah, and that was where Jerusalem was. And there was a whole variety of kings, some good, some bad, some who followed God, some who did not, some who allowed the people to do terrible, terrible things. And eventually, King Nebuchadnezzar, if you remember his name from Babylon, comes and captures Jerusalem, eventually winds up destroying the temple and taking the people into exile into Babylon. Probably not all the people, but definitely the people who were educated, the people who were craftsmen, the people who had some power were all taken into Babylon. And some of the poorer people were left to kind of redistribute the land and to farm it while the captivity happened. It was a terrible, terrible time in the life of God's people, the Israelites, because this promise that they had from God was suddenly snatched away from them. It had been prophesied that the people, as they turned their hearts from God, would lose their land. And so they did. And Jeremiah wrote from this time, probably from actually Jerusalem. Daniel wrote, and Ezekiel wrote during this time, probably from Babylon. And so the exile went on for 70 years. God's people, for the most part, were away from their promised city, from Jerusalem, the city that they loved, Zion, the city of God. And eventually, Cyrus the Persian comes and captures Babylon, and he sends the people home to worship Yahweh. A man who we're not even sure knew God somehow was drawn to the worship of these Israelite people and sent them home. And we read, particularly in Ezra and Nehemiah, how the captives started coming back and rebuilding the wall and rebuilding the temple and taking up the worship. And the people came back with a passion to worship God. And this psalm kind of reminds us of that. When God brought his people out of exile, some translations said when God restored the fortunes of his people, we were overjoyed. We were filled with gladness. And the people, the nations watching, said, the Lord has done amazing things for them. And the psalmist says, yes, he has. God has done amazing things for us. God promised to bring his people out of captivity, and he did. And we see him do it more than once. We see him bring them out of captivity in Egypt. We see him bring them, if you will, out of captivity in the wilderness. We see him bring them out of captivity in Babylon. Because God's people, for some reason, seem to continually fall into captivity, into bondage. Jesus, when he started his ministry after his 40 days and nights in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, comes out of the desert filled with the power of the Spirit, and he goes around and begins to teach in different towns in the synagogue. And then he comes to Nazareth, the town in which he was born, and he goes to read the scriptures, if you will, in the temple that day. He's handed the scroll of Isaiah, and he opens it up, and he reads the promise of Isaiah. The Spirit is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor, to preach release to the captives, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring freedom for the oppressed. And Jesus rolls up the scroll and says, today, in your hearing, this scripture has been fulfilled. It's part of the purpose Jesus came for, was to set the captives free, to bring liberty to the captives, to set them free. It's part of what he came here to do. And we see that ultimately in the crucifixion. We see that ultimately as the perfect Lamb of God gives his life, his broken body, his poured out blood to pay the price for the sins of God's people, to restore God's people, to break, if you will, the bonds of sin and death, so that God's people are once more brought back from exile of separation to God, into God's very presence through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to set the captives free. We, like the Israelites, like God's people, I believe, tend to continue to find ourselves in captivity, continue to find ourselves in bondage. And we can think of the very obvious sorts of bondage that people fall into with addictions, particularly to alcohol or to drugs, and all sorts of other very big, flashy bondage that we know of. But the reality of it is all sorts of little things in our lives put us in bondage, if you will, keep us in captivity, in exile from this abundant life that God has promised us. And that bondage sometimes looks different for all of us. Some of us are in bondage from hurt that we've suffered in our lives that we cannot get over. Some of us are held in bondage by the crazy busyness of our schedules that keep us running and running and running and running and running and leave us feeling like we have no peace. Some of us are kept in bondage and captivity, if you will, by our anger and by our frustrations that the world and the people in it do not do things the way we wish that they would. Some of us find ourselves in bondage by fear and worry and anxiety and what ifs that plague us, that rob our peace and our joy and damage our trust in God. All sorts of things can keep us in bondage. All sorts of things keep us exiled from the kingdom of God, from the life God fully wants us to live. And if you've ever, like me, looked at your life and said, how come? How come this doesn't look like somebody who's following Jesus? Then maybe you, like me, have our own areas where we're exiled, our own areas where we're in bondage, if you will. The good news is that Jesus came to set the captives free. That's the good news. But the last place Jesus wants his children is in bondage. And by the power of his blood, by the power of his cross, by the power of his name, bonds are broken. Captives are released. Exiles are brought home. Paul reminds us of this truth in Romans chapter 8, where he reminds us that nothing, neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, nor powers or principalities, nor height nor depth, nor any other thing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There are times in our life where we have something that's holding us back, something that's keeping us from the fullness of relationship that God's calling us to, and we pray about it, or we have other people pray about it, we give it to God, and we see it removed. It's gone. I know people who have had a very strong addiction or a very strong something that's got a hold on their life, and they gave it to Jesus, and they were free. It was no longer an issue. So often, though, we find that as we trust Jesus, we still struggle with the things that long to keep us captive. And I think about the Israelites in exile, if you will, in Babylon, and I'm reminded that we are in exile because our citizenship, if you will, is in the kingdom of God. And yet we live in this broken world. So we, just like the Israelites who were exiled far away from their promised land, the city of God, Zion, we also live in exile. And so often are faced with the bonds that would love to hold us captive. And we find this amazing thing happens in the kingdom of God. Sometimes when we bring our broken circumstances to God, he changes our circumstances miraculously, unbelievably, in a way that makes our jaws drop, if you will. But sometimes God does an even greater work, and that is, instead of changing our circumstances, he changes us. So even in less than perfect circumstances, even in situations that would long to hold us captive, that would long to steal our joy, we can be free. In the middle of our struggles, in the middle of our hard places, in the middle of our difficult times. I saw that so beautifully displayed in the last couple of weeks. I know some of you have prayed for Pastor Saeed, who is an American pastor of Iranian birth, who is in an Iranian prison right now because of his faith in Jesus Christ. He's been there for 3 years, and he's suffered horrendous, horrendous conditions. And he's been sick, and he's needed surgery that he hasn't gotten, and several times has been close to death. And the hope of his family was that when the treaty was made with Iran, that the release of him and several other American prisoners was going to be included in that. And it was not. They were not mentioned. And while his family was devastated, if you will, disappointed, and this man who's been unfairly imprisoned and treated, who had every right for bitterness and anger, released a statement reminding the people who are praying for him that his hope is not solely in the American government. His hope is in God. And whether he gets out of that prison or whether he dies in it, he's holding on to Jesus. In so many ways, Pastor Saeed, in circumstances we can't even begin to imagine, is freer than many of us who walk on this very free ground we call America. It's not just about our circumstances. Because see, we tend to look at our circumstances. We tend to judge whether God's with us or not by what's happening in our circumstances. We tend to figure out whether God's listening to our prayers or not by what's happening in our circumstances. And Jesus brings us a greater truth that even in the middle of our circumstances that are less than pleasant, even in the middle of our struggles, even in the middle of our frustration, he longs to set us free. He longs to break the bonds that keep us from having the joy that he promised us. On the cross, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are set free. And Jesus said, if the Son has set you free, then you are free indeed, no matter what the circumstances of your life are doing. Jesus came, he said, to give us life, to give us life abundantly, to give us life to the full. And ultimately, that means eternal life in heaven. But I believe he meant it for here, too. That God's people are able to live in fullness, in abundance, in joy, in spite of living in a broken world. And I believe that just like the Israelites returning from exile, that people who are watching God set us free, people who are watching God grow his joy and his love and his peace, the beautiful fruit of his Spirit in us, in spite of our circumstances, just like the nations of the world, they say the Lord has done amazing things for them. Who would have thought that maybe our greatest witness, our greatest opportunity to give glory to God is not by handing out tracts or by what words we use, but by letting God set us free in the middle of these ordinary lives, living in this broken world. And just like the exiles back from Babylon, we rejoice. Yes, indeed, is our cry. God has done amazing things for us. Will you pray with me? Lord God, it continues to overwhelm me that you know each one of us. You know the number of hairs on our head. You know the things that weigh us down. You know the places where we struggle. You know the times when our faith runs out. You know the times that we're walking by sight and not by faith at all. God, you know the times that we're trusting in our own strength. You know the times, God, when we're putting a church face on and acting like everything's okay when it's not. God, you know the things that keep us captive, that steal our joy, that keep us from serving you the way we want to, that keep us from living the kind of lives that we long to live. And so tonight, God, we just invite you in to the mess we are. Tonight, God, we invite you into those things, into those places, into those circumstances, those situations that would love to keep us captive, that would love to keep us tied up in knots rather than walking in victory. And Jesus, we ask you, by the power of your blood, by the power of your name, by the power of your cross, God, that you would break those bonds, that you would set us free. God, that we would sing a song of praise to you, even in the middle of broken circumstances. That you are an amazing God, and you have done amazing things for us. God, teach us how to follow you. Teach us how to love you. Teach us how to let you have your way in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name.